Sunday to you and your family. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this day. My name is Pastor Emily Sauer, and I would like to welcome you to St. Olaf Lutheran Church in Fort Dodge, Iowa. Thank you for joining us for worship today. I'd like to take a moment here to thank the individuals who make this worship service possible. Jason on the organ, Linda is our song leader, Grace is our assisting minister, and our tech team today is Mark and Bob. Thank you to all for sharing their gifts and talents with us. Just a couple brief announcements. The first is that our council will make a formal decision for the month of July worshiping in person. That decision will be made and communicated on June 24th, so stay tuned for those announcements. And also, we have several staffing opens here at St. Olaf. Those are for Christian Ed Director full-time, a part-time custodian, and also a part-time financial secretary. Those jobs are listed on Indeed, and you're encouraged to check those out there. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Moses tells the Israelites that they are called to be a priestly kingdom and a holy people. Jesus sends out the disciples as laborers into the harvest. In baptism, we too are anointed for ministry, sharing God's compassion with our needy world. From the Lord's table, we go forth to proclaim the good news, to heal the sick, and to share our bread with the hungry.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen.
Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us, and in your spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen.
Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hymn 576, we all are one in mission.
Thank you.
God of compassion, you have opened the way for us and brought us to yourself. Pour your love into our hearts, that overflowing with joy, we may freely share the blessings of your realm and faithfully proclaim the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Today's psalm is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all your lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with a song. Know that the Lord is God, our Maker to whom we belong. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. Give thanks and bless God's holy name. Good indeed is the Lord, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from age to age. The second reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us.
Our Holy Gospel today comes from Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, and for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't usually title my sermons because it's a whole lot of pressure to know the topic before Friday afternoon and then stick to it. Yet for today, I wanted a title so I can remember this one. The title is this: When Will We Have Real Church? Did you catch that? When will we have real church? That's a question that's been floating around cyberspace. I've seen it on Facebook. It's come through my email inbox a few times. I know I'm not the only pastor who has been on the receiving end of that phone call. When is real church happening again? What exactly does that mean? I wondered. When will we get back into the building? I don't know. I hope soon, when it is safe to do so. When can we have weddings at St. Olaf? When can we have funerals at St. Olaf? When can we sit in our favorite pew? I don't know. I hope soon, when it is safe. And when you dig deep, what that question is also asking is, when will we get back to normal? When will life resume how it used to be? When can church return to, say, the month of February? February was a really great month here at our church. Can we go back to that, Lord? We want normal, but here we are on a video recording. Is this real church? Jesus says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, he is here. I'm pinching my left arm. Is this real church? We know it is. We are God's living creation who is very present in this particular time and space worshiping. When will we get back to normal? What was normal? Sitting in the back pew, we're good Lutherans. Listening to the organ, humming the words, listening to the chatter of our children, hoping for some good news. When will we have real church? I'll be honest, this question made me angry at first. In my brain, I knew that this wasn't real like how it was real in February, but I was upset because the work that piled up for all of us to make one online worship service possible that felt real times two. It's double the work for pastors, musicians, AV tech people. It's more frustrating work to properly prepare for a normal-looking Sunday. Have you ever recorded an hour worship service to then find out afterwards that didn't work? So you have to go back again. Have you ever had the joy of using Google Drive to watch that little dial spin and spin for over an hour to upload an 8-minute clip? Being separated from one another is hard for everybody. So church folks all over the globe join together in a collective sigh. I hate that it has to be like this now. But beyond that initial response of anger, there is that nugget of wisdom and truth. That question comes from a place of love and it's also a real lament. It is a real sadness. It is a real longing. I want you all to see and know that we feel it too. We want to sit here in our pews. We want to listen to the music. We want to hear our drums beat on. We want to hear you sing off tune. We want to see God's word breathing new life into us. We want to give you a great big hug when your parent or spouse passes on so that we can visibly show you how sorry we are and tell you, I love you. And this church is here for you. We want to shake your hand during the passing of the peace, and we want to hear the little old lady, Rose, at the back door say, I am so glad you're standing here. We want to hear the roar of applause. You may kiss your bride. When will we have real church? I don't know, I hope soon when it's safe. We can take comfort knowing Jesus didn't spend much of his ministry inside a temple at all. Yes, he went to synagogues to preach and teach, but much of Jesus' ministry was spent on the road. Jesus was never attached to one building. There was no St. Jesus Lutheran Church. There was Jesus, his old worn sandals, his best friends in the big open sky. No matter what city or village the Lord went to, he went into homes. Jesus went into Peter's home and healed his sick mother-in-law. Jesus went to Mary and Martha's home for rest and refreshment. Jesus went to Simon and Andrew's home, the Pharisee's house, and so many others throughout Scripture. It was Jesus, the disciples, houses, people, and good news. And if there could have been, there probably would have been strong coffee too. Do we have all of that? And the amazing part, given how poorly Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses are received today, is that when Jesus knocked on the doors of those homes, they let him in. They let him in. In those ordinary, vulnerable moments at home, Jesus was able to see people, to truly see them for who they are. And then Jesus did this amazing thing. He had compassion on them. He saw them, how he sees us, sheep in need of a shepherd. I like to think that Jesus sees us here, his dear and tender sheep, vulnerable and ordinary, and he has compassion on us when we are weary, when we are separated, when we're wondering, when will it be okay? Growing up, our family had this retro blue Oldsmobile. And by retro, I mean old. You know, the kind with a huge trunk and the push-in lighter for cigarettes and the button in the glove compartment that you just popped it to pop the trunk. One ordinary morning, my dad drove me to school in our faithful Oldsmobile. I was in the fifth grade, and I remember this because I had my new clarinet with me. As we went on our way to school, the engine stalled in the middle of Route 12. We're from a town of 1,200 people, so this was not a huge catastrophe, but I was only 11 years old in the fifth grade, and therefore could not drive yet. My dad looks at me like a deer in a headlights and says, I'm going to get out of the car and I'm going to push us down this side street. Can you turn the wheel? Dad, I can't even see over the wheel or reach the pedals. You'll be fine. Just grab your clarinet case. I could never make this up. So my even shorter fifth grade self sat on my clarinet case as I steered the wheel of that old car. I can still envision my dad, age 44, pushing that old car while I felt like I was about to have a panic attack, and I prayed, Dear Lord, please let me hit the brake in time. There was a stream up ahead. I was worried I might drive into. This story usually cracks me up because, one, we had no control over the car stalling. Two, we just knew we had to find a solution to get it out of the road. And three, we had faith not only in God, but in each other. And four, we were okay. We made it. Can't see over the dash to observe the safe passage up ahead? Grab your clarinet case. Elevate your view. Find whoever it is that can help give you an assist up and onward. We need others, family and friends in our church, to be our encouragers. Can't move the car out of the road. I think this is also why I laugh at this story, is because I can also envision Jesus, age 33, pushing our car to the side of the road. Jesus isn't going to take the wheel, as Carrie Underwood suggests. He's not going to drive the car either, but he is going to help get you to safety, and you are a part of that equation. When will we have real church? One, we have no control over the pandemic happening. Two, we just know that we have to find the solution to get out of harm's way. Three, we also have faith not only in God, but in each other. And four, we will be okay. Yes, all will be well. No matter what, Christ promises to be with us. Jesus saw the 12 how he sees us, sheep in need of a shepherd. Take comfort, the 12 were together with Jesus, and we also are together with the Lord. Angry? Collectively honk your horns. Sad? Cry together. Happy? Sing our praises to God. The Lord can help us handle what this world has given us. Those 12 were brave, leaving everything to go on the road with the Lord. This wasn't easy. There was no real church to go to, but they were obedient and faithful and spirit-led, and Jesus blessed them for their willingness to simply follow, knowing full well that they were sheep going into the midst of wolves, that the wolves were loud back then and they are loud today. But they each had one another, together, the real church. You are the real church. We will all be okay. Yes, all will be well. No matter what we face, Christ promises to be with us. Today we give God thanks for this real church at St. Olaf, the building, and more importantly, the people. Amen.
Thank you.
We continue with the prayers of intercession. I will say, God, hear us, O God, and your response will be, your mercy is great. Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. Holy One, you bring us together and call us your own. Bless theologians, teachers, and preachers who help us to grow in faith, following the examples of Basil the Great and Gregory, whom we commemorate today. Guide your church that we might be a holy people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Holy One, the whole earth is yours. Where there is fire, bring cool air and new growth. Where there is flooding, bring abatement. Where there is drought, bring rain. Inspire us to care for what you have provided. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Holy One, we have created divisions you will, not our own. In places of conflict, especially the United States and the Middle East, we ask, Lord, that you raise up leaders who will work to develop lasting peace and reconciliation. Encourage organizations and individuals who care for all, forced to leave their homes. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
Holy One, you care for those who are harassed and helpless. Protect and defend those who are abused. Heal those who are sick, especially Harold and Marilyn Wingerson, Gary Weidenfield, Curtis Stover, Tim Brainerd, Steve Hall, Steve Quam's family and loved ones, John and Diane Eveland, Steve Springer's family and loved ones, Jodine Kasingi, Rosemary Stickrod, Renee Powell, Willie Williams, Steve McKinney, Mike and Chantel Early, Donna Smith, John Olstad, Bowden Seehusen, Scott Otto, Teresa Copps, Arlene DeWall, and David Halsrud. Feed all who hunger, empower all whose voices go unheard, and help us to respond to the pressing needs of our neighbors. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Holy One, you provide a plentiful harvest of gifts and resources. Prepare us to labor and gather the fruits of this congregation that we might discover new ways of living. Minister to us in our work that we do not lose heart. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Holy One, you bring all people to yourself. We give thanks for the holy people who have gone before us. Sustain us in your mission until the day you bear us up to join the saints in light. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, we will receive our offering, and we are glad that you have joined us in worship this day. We ask that you prayerfully consider supporting the work of our congregation. Please consider sending your offering online to paypal.me/stolaf.com, by mailing your check to the church. That information will be available to you in the comments section of this video. We appreciate your good gifts as they further sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts, that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Comforter bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen.
Go in peace, Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.